WCF WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A strong person of interest in the shooting death of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson has been arraigned on unrelated charges in Pennsylvania, and bail has been denied. He was arrested in Altoona. CBS's Matt Piper.
A police officer only on the force for 6 months is who responded when a McDonald's employee recognized Luigi Mangione as a person of interest. The officer and another asked Mangione to pull down his blue medical mask and also recognized him. Police say he was found with a box of masks, a 3D printed pistol and silencer, and $10,000 in cash. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro says the 26-year-old had been traveling throughout the state.
This suspect traveled between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, making stops in between, obviously here in Altoona.
Court documents say when police asked Mangione if he'd been to New York recently, he began to shake. Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
Daniel Penny is cleared of criminally negligent homicide in the New York City subway chokehold death of Jordan Neely. CBS News New York's Alice Gaynor.
Loud reaction in the courtroom once that verdict was read. The jury foreperson was asked had they reached a verdict. She said yes. When asked what the verdict was, she paused and said not guilty.
The incident happened in 2023 when Penny gripped Jordan Neely around the neck for 6 minutes and Neely acted erratically. In Syria, President Bashar al-Assad's rule came to an end this weekend as rebel forces quickly took over the capital and other major cities. This has renewed hopes for the family of journalist Austin Tice, believed to still be alive more than 12 years after his kidnapping. His brother, Jonathan.
This is the moment to reach out to any and all organizations or individuals to do anything in their power, anything they can do to help us bring him home.
Stefan Dujarric, spokesperson for the UN secretary, says more than 180 people were killed in Port-au-Prince over the weekend.
The secretary general expresses his deepest sympathy and condolences to the families of the victims of this horrific act.
Authorities say the massacre was carried out on the order of a gang leader targeting elderly people he suspected of sickening his own child by voodoo. Four college football players are in line to win this year's Heisman Trophy.
The four players in the running for college football's highest honor include Oregon's Dylan Gabriel, Colorado's Travis Hunter, Miami's Cam Ward, and Boise State's Ashton Ginty, who says winning it would be a dream come true.
It would mean everything, I think, not only for me, but for this program, for this community, you know, everybody who has the underdog story.
Ginty, courtesy of Fox. The Heisman Trophy will be awarded to the nation's most outstanding college football player Saturday night in New York City. Erica Herskowitz for CBS News, New York.
This is CBS News.
Power up the holiday and give a gift from the top of their wish list. Visit your local Steel dealer today or shop online at steelusa.com. That's STIHLUSA.com.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Pack gets ready for Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's back to work for the Packers, who play the Seahawks in Seattle. Next on Sunday Night Football, the Seahawks beat the Cardinals in Arizona yesterday 30-18. Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray throwing two interceptions in the first half that the Seahawks converted into a pair of touchdowns. Women's college volleyball, Wisconsin and Marquette headed to the Sweet 16. The Badgers will face Texas A&M, the Golden Eagles against Utah. Both matches set for Friday. NBA, the Bucks at home tomorrow night for an NBA Cup quarterfinal against the Orlando Magic. The Bucks beat the Nets 118-113. Doc Rivers on what made the difference in Brooklyn versus losing in Boston on Friday.
The difference tonight than in the Boston game. Tonight, we trusted everything. Giannis made a great pass to Bobby for a three. Dame had the three, but they were closing out and he swung it to Chris. That's called trust. That's how you win games. When you start doing that, your team becomes unguardable.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Nominations for the Golden Globes were announced Monday, and Variety is reporting that in the film category, Amelia Perez leads the way with 10 nominations. The musical stars Zoe Saldana and Selena Gomez and is being called a drug cartel musical. Intrigued? I am. The film is available on Netflix. Not too far behind with 7 nominations, including Best Picture, is The Brutalist, a brutally long 3.5-hour drama set in post-war Europe starring Adrian Brody, Felicity Jones, and Guy Pearce, all three of whom are nominated for their acting chops. Focus Features Conclave pulled in 6 nominations, including for Best Picture and Best Screenplay, as well as acting nominations for cast members Ralph Fiennes and Isabella Rossellini. Delaney. The Bear continues to dominate award shows on the little screen with 5 nominations. Only Murders in the Building and Shogun received 4 nominations each. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Weather is sponsored by Peck Roofing, Inc., veteran and locally owned and operated. Learn more online at peckroofinginc.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and a little breezy tonight with lows in the low 20s. A mix of sun and clouds and highs in the upper 20s for tomorrow. Some snow showers Tuesday night, lingering into Wednesday morning, then clearing and colder and a little breezy Wednesday afternoon. Temps fall through the teens.
Right now it's 33.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome wrestling announcer and Civic Media's own Rich Lucchesio, Swedish jazz queen Gunnhild Carling, and Northeast Wisconsin author Brett Kissinger. Let's light it up like it's a school night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut it even.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in 4 directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, some sad news, Haley, a tribal member in the area, executive director of American Indian Movement, Frank Perro, has passed today, and I just want to lead that off and send out healing prayers and comfort prayers to the family and all his friends. And I know he has grandchildren, and Frank's been on the show many times, and he's a pillar in the community, and we're sad to see this him passing on.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I saw that earlier too as well, and I have all of my AIM gear on. I got my AIM hoodie on, which is where I saw Frank a lot of the time, was at the American Indian Movement vendor stuff and having all the swag. And it's such a hard loss when we lose elders like this in our community, and thoughts and prayers and tobacco down, just thinking about Frank and everyone who knew him, his family and relatives, and it's going to be a big loss here in the community.
Yeah, we had our Sunday symposium when we were doing the Sunday symposium, and Clyde Belcourt handed over the reins to Lisa and
Bellinger?
Yes, Lisa Bellinger, thank you, and also to Frank, and it was pretty heavy duty. It was a thing that needed to be done, and I'm glad Clyde did that, because there was no fighting about who's going to be the leader or any of that. And he said it while he was still alive. And we're here at Native Roots Radio. We're a big part of that. And that show was pretty intense and awesome. And so we've been supporting AIM and part of AIM. I know Clyde and Frank were always out at Wounded Knee every year for the anniversary of the occupation, and Frank for many years traveled all over the country to check out people that wanted to become American Indian Movement chapters, and checking them out and going through that whole process. And he's been involved with the American Indian Movement for decades and decades.
Yeah, that's right. And so much to learn from, like you said, Frank and Clyde and all of those people in AIM. And that's why it's so important to learn from our elders before, you know, it's too late, so we can continue on the traditions and carry it down to our next generations.
Yeah, definitely. I also, before we get going too far, because I have a good memory, but it's short, just to remind everyone that we'll be out there. Native Roots Trading Post will be in Shakopee Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. come out and say hi. I think I'm doing the show Thursday and Friday live out there. So
come live on audience.
Bring your tomatoes and throw them at me, or just give me a big hoo.
Yeah, get those laugh tracks going in the background for sure. Yeah. with your jaw-jig jokes.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, I got to see Mahinu, and I understand that you interviewed people from the new Native Theater and got to see that live radio broadcast five-part series, and then there's five more parts on a different night. It was fabulous. Deanna Thundercloud outdid herself. It was fabulous, funny, and, of course, coming from New Native Theater, and it was professional and awesome.
I'm so glad to hear you were able to go. Yeah, I didn't know that Deanna Standing Cloud, this was, like, kind of a play that was written years ago, or, like, well, within the past 5 years, I think. But I was just learning that when I was talking to a couple of the cast members last Friday. But yeah, so it sounds like it was good. And there's going to be, it's a podcast, right? So everything that's being recorded, you can listen to or no?
Right. No, that's exactly right. So I believe they'll be editing the best performances and then putting them up on their social medias and websites, so you can download and listen to it anywhere. So that's what makes it a podcast, but really it's like a old time radio show. So it was,
that's cool.
It was fun too, because they were, you know, they were acting it out, but not really. They were reading a script and acting out with their voices. And of course, when you're doing that too, your body gets involved. And so it was really cool. And, Jaleesa McKee, played a big part in it, and it was really good to see my daughter doing what she loves best.
Yeah, and you can definitely tell how much she loves it, and so happy for Jaleesa and all the cast members that get to work with New Native Theater, and specifically on this play, which we're talking about is Blood Quantum Physics. It's an audio play by Deanna Standing Cloud. And for more information, you can check out newnativetheater.org, and theater is spelt with R-E at the end. I believe times and tickets and everything you can get on the website.
Absolutely. And I'm hoping to maybe get somebody on here before the end of the week, too, and give them a little boost, too. I know the tickets are going to be going fast, and New Native Theater seems to always sell out, so. Yeah, get them on there, and it's pay what you can, but you know, suggested price is $35, and we always do that, but pay what you can, show up and listen to a lot of familiar things on this 10-part podcast/play. A lot of inside jokes and a lot of jokes about the urban Indian that we'll all get.
I love that. Yeah, that sounds like a good story. I know it'll be playing next weekend too, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I believe. Friday and Saturday at 7, and then 1 p.m. they have the early afternoon showing.
Well, we're going to have Dr. Stately on later, and also Wendy with their sacred animal section. What else is going on? I know we got some notes here on the show generic script. we're talking about some winter storytelling. What do you got on that?
Well, I don't know. I was looking up kind of like different traditions with like our neighboring tribes, because, you know, we're Ho-Chunk. So I know we do like our winter storytelling. We're supposed to do it when there's snow on the ground. And I wasn't sure if that was like the same for our neighboring tribes, like the Dakotas or the Chippewa. But I was kind of looking. I found this really cool website. It's at the lacrossestoryfest.com. And it was talking about the differences between storytellings and like when it's, you know, appropriate for different tribes. And I thought that was really interesting. But going back to the Ho-Chunk thing, I was skiing this weekend. And here in Minnesota, it's been cold. I mean, it's been fairly warm this weekend, but they are able to make snow there because we haven't gotten much snowfall naturally. And this is my question, Dega. So can you do winter storytelling on snow that's like man-made? Or definitely preferred to be, you know, creator made.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think there was man-made snow 10,000 years ago. So.
No, they didn't have those big snow blowers and a big water bill.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, that would be someone to ask. That's interesting too. I shot you that video of the snake. You know, this with the snake, the snow snake, and how you throw that down a trail and see who goes the furthest. And
oh yeah, the Ho-Chunk game outside.
Yeah, well, it's all tribes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so hey, we're going to have Dr. Stately up next, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. They'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. That's 612-373-3333.
Get ready to bake with I Am Betty. The smash hit musical returns to the History Theater now through December 29th. Explore 100 years of women's history through Betty Crocker. While she wasn't a real person, Betty Crocker was a media personality and cultural icon who shaped homes and kitchens for generations. Don't miss last season's runaway hit with catchy songs and heartwarming stories. So grab your big red cookbook and head to the History Theater. Tickets at historytheater.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, Native American Community Clinic CEO. And Frank, Dr. Stately, I don't know, did you hear that Frank Perro passed on today? And thoughts and prayers are with the family and the movement, and it'll be lost in the community.
Yeah, I was really actually quite shocked to hear the news. I think I was at a meeting this afternoon, and one of my colleagues mentioned it to me that he had passed. And my condolences to his family and his and to the community too. Like, we lost a good leader. So.
Yeah, definitely. Saw Frank everywhere. One of the few times that I went to Wounded Knee, of course, he was there representing and being with the American Indian Movement. And thoughts and prayers to his family, and it's a great loss. And it's just a reminder, too, of our relatives are not here forever, and we need to reach out and talk to them and listen to the stories and be a part of the community and listen to what the history of what we've gone through and what we go through.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, I'm sure he has, I'm hoping that someone took time to record his or write down his stories and, you know, or codify them somehow. You know, he's like, you know, I think he, you know, lived in South Minneapolis for a really long time and in our community, and worked in the organization in AIM for quite some years. And so, you know, it's always one of those things where you're like, not only is it just a loss personally, I mean, I have a lot of really good memories of him. One time, I went and found him and chased him down and told him to go to the doctor because I had, you know, I know that he had, was having like symptoms of, you know, involving his heart. And I was like, Frank, you need to go to the doctor, honey.
Right. Well,
we value you. You have to go to the doctor.
Yeah, that's correct. And you know, when he did have some situations a couple years ago, that's what I was saying. You gotta mm-hmm. take care of yourself. Get off those heaters, and we need you. And
he will be missed. That's for sure. And the community will, he leaves a big gap. And I'm sure his family is very, you know, he was a grandpa. Was he mm-hmm. a great grandpa? I think he was a great grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, they left up behind a lot of people who love him, you know, as well. I mean, love him dearly, his family. So, you know, I haven't even been home like 20 minutes. I'll go put out some tobacco tonight by my tree and just say a prayer for him and his journey.
Yeah. Yeah, I was telling Haley, we had our Sunday night symposium, and Clyde handed over the reins to him and Lisa Bellinger live on Native Roots Radio Network. And, you know, it was good because you didn't want to question who was going to take the reins. And now Lisa needs to figure out who's going to be working with her. And it was good that Clyde put it as a co-directorship, so to speak. So there's no inner squabbling, and they seem to work together really well, and mm-hmm. we'll keep on keeping.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they have thought about those things and talked about them. I know that Frank that I think had already either had or was talking about stepping back from that work anyway because of his health. And so, you know, the community will step in and carry on that work. And I hope we just all remember as we do that, that and remind ourselves of who cut the path before us.
Yeah, really good point.
My neighbor's dog is barking. Can you hear that?
No, but we're all for dogs. We miss our dogs that used to bust in on our and our cat that used to bust in on our show.
Mine is running around here somewhere. Oh, he's over there on the bed.
He's planning something for later.
There he is. When are you coming to lay down? Is what he's saying.
That's funny.
This dog, though, every single morning, never during the week does he get up that early, get up really early and wake me up. But it's always like on Saturday and Sunday he wakes up and wakes me up like before I want to get up.
Yeah, that's a new trick our dog's doing now. So I get to get up a couple times and, you know, let him out, and hopefully the raccoon don't get him.
Hopefully.
I got to be awake when I'm letting them out. It's like, what the heck?
Oh, you have a little tiny dog, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. It's a sacred, it's a tiny sacred dog. It's like a little human dog.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got to meet him.
He's very aggressive.
Yeah. He likes to say hi and needs attention. Hey, mm-hmm. We put our reef up. Our reef is bigger than our
door.
Christmas tree and our door too.
Like hits the door. Yeah,
it's awesome.
It is quite lovely. I saw a picture of it. It looks nice.
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
Enjoy that wreath. It's the last one you're getting from me.
I know. We'll have to pull out the artificial one with the fake candle and hope for some snow so it looks real.
If you get some, if you get some spray on shellac, you could just shellac it now.
Oh, shellac, huh?
I always wonder, like, I mean, I just said my mom shellacked everything that she wanted to preserve. Just shellac it. Shellac it.
Yes, that's hilarious. That is hilarious. We got Alice. Did you see Allison put up, listens to our show all the time. She met your brother, Charlie. It's vending season time.
It is vending season time. Yeah.
Where can people find your brother's store, Dr. Stately?
People can find my brother's store, Woodland Indian Crafts, in the Indian Center, the Minneapolis American Indian Center on Franklin Avenue in Bloomington, where it intersects 1530 East Franklin in Minneapolis. But you know, one of the things I'm the proudest about my brother Charlie is that he went to work for, I think it was, oh God, what was his last name? I want to say he was a Larson. I think I believe he was a Larson. And I can't remember the name of the store before he bought it. It was called Blue something. Anyway. My brother went to work for him when he was a student at Minneapolis Institute of Arts. And he had gotten a full ride to become an artist. He left Minneapolis Institute of Arts like after his first year of College of Art and Design, because from my conversations with him when I was younger, I think one of the things he was talking about was how they wanted him, they were trying to make him into a different artist than the indigenous artist he was, you know, and he was working with the owner of the former, the store before it became Woodland for about a year or so. And then he decided he wanted to sell the store. And my brother was like, I want to buy it. And my mom leveraged her house to help him buy the store. But he is one of the longest Native owned and operated businesses on Franklin Avenue. He's been in that same location, operating with an Indian craft since for 46 years, I think. I think he was 19 when he bought it.
So it's like 1978 or 79, somewhere around there, wasn't
78,
it?
78. Yeah.
I saw an old article of exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and if you ever go into his store, you'll see. I don't know if he still has that up, but I think the year after that was, Prince Charles and Princess Diana got married.
Yeah.
And 1980. And he was commissioned by one of his regular persons that came in, visitor. He was commissioned by one of those persons to bead a gift for the couple on their wedding. That was going to be the person's wedding gift. And so that it was he made this beaded applique of Buckingham Palace in the background, and it says Princess Diana and
Charles.
Prince Charles on the flags, and it has the date of their wedding on it. And you know, I'm sure Camilla destroyed that at some point.
What I like about your brother, he's a mellow dude, and he's very helpful, and he's a real deal. He's a very humble, mellow dude.
He is humble. He is mellow. He had his rambunctious days, but didn't we all? And you know, he is like what I think my mom would be really happy and really proud right now. She would be really proud to know that every one of her sons, all three of us, myself, my brother Rob, my brother Charlie, we're all working in the Native community on Franklin Avenue Cultural Corridor after all these years.
Wow. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief. A person of interest in the shooting death of United Healthcare CEO is denied bond on unrelated charges after his arrest in Altoona, Pennsylvania. James Sandberg went to the same Baltimore high school as Luigi Mangione.
We all knew each other. Wasn't particularly close with him, but I knew of him. I knew him somewhat well. He was a nice kid.
The collapse of Bashar al-Assad's regime in Syria raises hopes that more information will come to light on the whereabouts of kidnapped journalist Austin Tice, his brother Jonathan.
We do know that he is well taken care of, that he is healthy, alive, and ready to be home.
UN spokesperson Stefan Dujarric says more than 180 people were killed in Port-au-Prince, reportedly on the order of a gang leader who took the advice of a voodoo priest.
The Secretary General calls on the Haitian authorities to conduct a thorough investigation and ensure that perpetrators to these and all other human rights abuses and violations are brought to justice.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Pack gets ready for Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's back to work for the Packers, who play the Seahawks in Seattle. Next on Sunday Night Football, the Seahawks beat the Cardinals in Arizona yesterday 30-18. Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray throwing two interceptions in the first half that the Seahawks converted into a pair of touchdowns. Women's college volleyball, Wisconsin and Marquette headed to the Sweet 16. The Badgers will face Texas A&M. The Golden Eagles against Utah. Both matches set for Friday. NBA, the Bucks at home tomorrow night for an NBA Cup quarterfinal against the Orlando Magic. The Bucks beat the Nets 118-113. Doc Rivers on what made the difference in Brooklyn versus losing in Boston on Friday.
The difference tonight than in the Boston game. Tonight, we trusted everything. Giannis made a great pass to Bobby for a three. Dame had the three, but they were closing out, and he swung it to Chris. That's called trust. That's how you win games. When you start doing that, your team becomes unguardable.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're a moviegoer who likes Thanksgiving leftovers, you probably found something to enjoy at the movies this past weekend. Only one new release was able to crack the top five, and only three flicks cracked the top 10. In first place, to no one's surprise, was Moana 2, which pulled in another $52 million in its second weekend in theaters. Coming in second place was Wicked, with a $34 million haul and $320 million take worldwide. And in third place is Gladiator 2, with $12.5 million. Indian action mystery thriller Pushpa 2, The Rule, brought in almost $10 million on just 1,200 screens to grab fourth place. Red One took fifth place. A24's latest, Y2K, pulled in a disappointing $2 million in its first weekend release, good for eighth place. A re-release of Christopher Nolan's Interstellar took sixth place with $4.5 million on only 165 screens nationwide. There should be some big box office activity this coming week with the release of a new Lord of the Rings film. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and a little breezy tonight with lows in the low 20s. A mix of sun and clouds and highs in the upper 20s for tomorrow. Some snow showers Tuesday night, lingering into Wednesday morning, then clearing and colder and a little breezy Wednesday afternoon. Temps fall through the teens. Right now it's 33.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Luke Mathers is in with Tuesday Tangents and more of our grown-up gift list text to win contest. It's statewide. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we're here with our friend Dr. Stately, Native American Community Clinic CEO and all-around great guy. You know, I always have to bring this up that we are, like, so blessed to have you on our show and talking around the community, and as you're not just the Native community, but the whole community as a whole really know you and respect you. And so it's a lot of fun to have you on, but also you come with all this knowledge. And, you know, we talked to you during the heavy duty times of COVID and when there was no vaccine and all these things that affect Indian country and our community as a whole. It's just been, I just want to say, I really appreciate you coming on when you can. And I know it's not always easy with your young ones running around and taking care of them as you have to, but I appreciate you coming on and speaking your truth.
They're not that young. They're 17.
Well, I'm 63.
But they don't drive. So, like, you know, they might as well be 5.
Yeah, I don't understand kids now. The day I turned 16, I got my license, and I had a car when I was 15, and I used to push it down the alley and start it in the middle of the night when my parents were sleeping.
Oh, yeah, I'm not proud to say this, but I bought a car when I was 16 and didn't get a license until I was 18. But, like, I was ready to go, like, as soon as I could get it. I was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah. Wow. You know. Yeah. Well,
that was a great car, my first car. It was a Ford LTD.
Oh, what year?
Yeah. I think at that point it was a 70. So.
Oh, I had a 69 Ford LTD, and that was an old highway patrol car with the 429. That thing was fast. I got more tickets in that car than I ever did in any car.
Oh, man. That car was like, it was a really gross, ugly pea green. Like, it was really, really disgusting and ugly, but it only cost me $700. And it was like really a great deal. It was like, and it was like, it was a tank. I remember one time I never could, get stuck in anything. I remember one time I was coming from downtown Minneapolis, going home, and we lived in South Minneapolis, and I was on Hiawatha Avenue, and you know how Hiawatha and Cedar split there. Mm-hmm. You get the off ramp to Cedar, and it was snowing, and I got, my tires got kind of stuck in the rut, and I started drifting towards Cedar Avenue, but I was trying to like steer to go and get back on Hiawatha, and I ended up hitting that median thing right in the middle between the two roads. Yeah, and I just put it in reverse and backed up and kept going. It was like,
yeah, I think my car, I had a slow gas leak for about 9 months, and I did not have to smoke any weed or anything. I think I had a contact high from the gasoline smell for those times.
That actually explains a lot.
Yeah, drain. I got a lot of drain damage in the 70s there.
Yeah, clearly.
thanks, Haley. I'm just kidding. Your review's coming up soon, Haley.
I know. I've done so well.
And it's also you ended up on the 9 list now, so I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, Haley.
Yeah. He's your day guy. He's going to take care of you.
Always.
Yeah, and I'm there to back you up if you need.
Yeah.
Piggy.
on the air live. Hey, we're going to be, Wendy and I will be at Shakopee this weekend. Hopefully we'll see you stop by the
market. The market, yeah, nice. I will. Yeah. I missed it last year. I'm so disappointed I missed it last year.
Yeah, I did too. I was sick. I think I had COVID like 2 weeks beforehand, and I just did not have the energy to do it.
Oh, yeah. I remember that actually, now that I think about it.
It was weird. Yeah. I was ready to go. And but yeah, you live out that way, so I'll give you a text to come by and stop by and I'll give you that special guest host discount. Oh,
no, I thought you had like you. I think you put away two or three T-shirts for me already. I get the free stuff first, and I'll see what I can pay for.
Yeah. Oh, you're gonna have to fight Wendy. Wendy and our little Wanda, our dog.
Wanda the dog. Yeah, that's a little ankle biter, that dog.
Oh, she's very sacred. We love her.
She's very sweet. I love her little ramp that she has to go up onto the couch.
Yeah. She's got one that goes up in the bed, too.
Yes. And I was like, oh, I'm going to need one of those ramps here in about probably 10 years.
Yeah. To go anywhere. Well,
to go anywhere, exactly. So.
Well, once we, I don't know if you saw the baby's room. But once we change that, it was my studio and then it changed to the baby room. But once the babies get old, that's going to be our first floor room too again, because we're going to have trouble going up those steep stairs.
Oh, your stairs are insane.
They're steep, aren't they? They're like,
yeah. Well, it used to be the attic. Like they're attic stairs.
Oh, got it. Okay, that makes sense.
So
they're like the stairs at, on the second floor, level of the. Of the XL Energy Center. So when I go to hockey games and I get seated down the thing, I'm always thinking, feel like I'm going to tumble down and fall to my death.
Afraid of heights up there.
Yeah. Well, if we would have the right, if we weren't grandfathered in on those stairs, they would probably, the angle would be right in the middle of our living room. So if that makes sense, they're from the old attic days that we were attic stairs.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You might want to start thinking in advance your retirement strategy here.
Yeah, a little car to a little chair to take me up the stairs.
Yeah. Like that lady in that movie about the gizmo. You know, what is it?
What? Wicked? Are you talking about Wicked?
No, Gremlins?
Gremlins, remember?
Oh, really?
Stairs and they were like, it went flying through the window.
Oh, I haven't seen that movie in forever. Like,
yeah. Oh my God, I love that movie. My kids used to watch it all the time. But yeah, now I just listen to rap music and listen to them play like video games. And every once in a while they fight about girls, which is like, I'm telling you, the military sounds better and better every single day.
Can you sign them up before they're 18 without them knowing? Because you're their guardian. You're their father.
If I can, I would seriously consider that. I mean, you know, they're going to have to figure out life and how else they're going to do that. But
they have hockey in the military?
They do, actually. They have hockey teams, and they also, but more importantly, they have structure and discipline. And more importantly, they're going to have a roof over their head. They're going to have like a cot to sleep in, a bed to sleep in. They'll have meals prepared for them, right? For the most part, one of them wants to be a cook. A firefighter, and possibly something else. And I said, you can do all that in the Army.
Yeah.
Like you can be a cook in the Army. You can also become a firefighter while you're there. And guess what? They'll also teach you how to drive, because they want you to be able to how to drive. They want you to drive.
Right.
It's like it is sounding every single time I talk to somebody, it is sounding like the solution to my life every single time I talk to somebody.
Well, it's interesting too. They make you make your bed too in the morning, and that would help out the discipline.
They might actually sleep in a bed. Right now, they don't sleep in a bed.
Well, in all seriousness, in my early my early years of working in the restaurants, some of the best chefs I worked under learned their trade in the Army as a chef.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
On how to really prepare and, because it's all about prep and cutting accurately and making soup out of bones and all those things.
What kind of bones?
Yeah, that's a different show. That's a scary, scary thing to think about.
That's a commercial. It's a, like a Let's Get Out type of a movie.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, I will tell you this. Like, my children do not sleep in beds. I worked my fingers to the bone. Look at these.
Yeah, fingers. I see it.
Typing.
For grants.
Writing grants, yes. I bought this amazing house finally in 2020, right when I was about to die from COVID. You remember that?
Right,
I was
right.
Mm-hmm. Same week I ended up in the hospital. But, and I bought this huge house to give them an amazing life, 5 bedrooms, and they don't sleep in any of the bedrooms. They sleep on the floor or on the couch. And I was like, I said this legitimately, I did say this a couple months ago. I said, I did not go $180,000 into debt, work my butt off to get like this amazing life for you, buy this beautiful house with all these amazing bedrooms in it for you to just sleep on the floor. We could have just stayed on the res.
I think they're kind of living the resi life there.
They have their back
really macro.
Wow.
If I was sleeping on the floor, I'd be crippled.
You and me both. I'm like, all I can think about is like, you know, they're going to come to me in about 10 years and tell me about how their backs don't. Yeah. I'll be like, yeah, I told you, sleep on your bed.
Well, you can tell them what I tell my kids. Just invite me to your therapy session because I got a few things to bring up too.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I got a list, actually,
at this rate, I'm likely to pay for them, so I'm going to show up.
Yeah. Unannounced.
Like, I have a list.
Yeah, all right.
Where do I start?
Before we get going here. Exactly. Well, Dr. Stately, hopefully I'll see you this week. And
I'll try to see you this weekend. And then I'm assuming you're not going to be on the radio on New Year's Eve. I mean, Christmas Eve, are you?
I don't think so.
Really? So this is my time to bid you happy holidays, everyone.
Right on. Well, thank you again. And I really meant that. It's so important. And we really appreciate you being on all these times, really.
No, seriously, I do wish everybody listening a happy holidays. Safe and wonderful holidays. And hope all your loved ones are in good health and spirits. And I'll see you in the new year. And before you go, I'm going to sing a little Bing Crosby song.
Yeah, White Christmas. Hey, up next, Wendy with their sacred animals. Thank you, Big Peeny Giggy, Dr. Stately. This is Native Roots Radio. Oh, wow.
Getting bus and train information in your language just got easier. Customers who call Metro Transit at 612-373-3333, again 612-373-3333, are able to select language options at the start of the call. To access information in Spanish, select Option 2. For more information about other transit information tools, visit metrotransit.org/Spanish. That's metrotransit.org/Spanish.
Programming on Native Roots Radio is supported in part by MinSure. Looking for health insurance but not sure where to start? MinSure has you covered. You can find discounts, compare private health plans, and see if you qualify for free or low-cost insurance. Plus, get help from an expert so you save on the coverage you need. Enroll online by December 18th for coverage starting January 1st. Get started today at MinSure.org. That's MNSure.org.
It's okay to talk about mental health. It's okay to struggle. And it's okay to ask for help. It's important that we support one another and work together to end the stigma so that we can start to tell a different story about mental health and well-being in our community. If you're looking for support for yourself or want to find resources for a loved one, visit makeitokay.org to get started. That's makeitokay.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
And here's Wendy with the new sacred animals.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. It's always my pleasure to do that, as always. So I got a lot of things to talk about today. First of all, well, we all know the weather's getting cold. And for the first time the other night, we were getting in the car, Robert and I. We have this neighborhood cat. He comes from across the street. He's a orange cat. He's like super friendly. Like he'll walk right up to you and you could pick him up, and he's really cute. And he has all his tags and his ID and everything on him. So we know where he lives. But it just, I don't know, makes Robert and I so nervous seeing him cross the street. And, you know, so yesterday he was in the back of our alley. I don't know what he was doing. And then he ran. And we didn't see him. And Robert and I were going out to the car. And we were like, oh, my God, is he under the car? Like, what is this cat doing? So I said, you know, it's starting to get cold now. We need to, like, start banging on our hood of the car before we get in it and start it up, because there could be like animals in there now, because it's getting so cold at night, right? And the animals, you come in and your car's warm, the engine's warm, and they find a little place to nestle in and get cozy. So we did, we were banging on the hood of the car, and then Robert was like, well, let's check the wheel wells, maybe he's in the wheel wells. So, you know, so anyway, we're going to start doing that, because who knows? I think we know the name of the cat, too. I can't remember it. Robert, if you remember, chime in his name. Anyway, he's got a collar with his name and his address and everything. But we have a lot of neighborhood cats. A lot of people let their cat out wandering around. You know, most of the cats I see have collars and tags and everything. But I don't know. When I was a kid, all our animals went out. You know, the cats went out. I remember when I was a kid, my grandmother had, I think, three dogs at one time. Bootsy, Sam, and Jethro. Yeah, Bootsy, Sam, and Jethro. And she used to just, like, open the door in the morning, let the dogs out, you know, after they ate their breakfast. And they would just run the neighborhood. They just have their doggy lives and their doggy friends. And then I remember my grandmother be like, all right, call the dogs, it's time for them to come in, it's time for them to eat, call the dogs. And you know, we would like go out on the porch and like yell for the dogs, and they'd all come running. I don't know, it's a crazy thing. I'm glad those days are over, because I don't think dogs should be just wandering around, you know, pooping wherever they want, unsupervised, getting hit by cars, you know, getting into trouble. But anyway, enough about that. We also have squirrels, Robert and I. We call them our squirrels because, like, yeah, they're our squirrels. So years ago, I can't even remember how many years ago, Robert started feeding the squirrels peanuts. He had some salted peanuts left over from a baseball game or something, I don't know, and he threw some out, and it attracted the squirrels. But then I said, you know, they shouldn't really have salted nuts, because salt's not good for them, right? They'll get high blood pressure or whatever. So then we started buying unsalted peanuts in the shell. And we've been doing it for years. And I'm telling you, excuse me, we have so many squirrels in our backyard. Sometimes, you know, there's 12 squirrels. But, and then I felt bad for them in the winter because, you know, I feel bad for animals. We bought duck houses. They're wood duck houses. We bought them at a store on Robert Street, like a bird store in Robert Street. I got up on the ladder and put it up there. And sure enough, the squirrels made a house, made a little home out of it. And when I looked inside, there was leaves and twigs and all kinds of stuff to make a little nest for them. And oh my God, I'm crazy. I was looking up how to insulate them to make them warmer. It gets so cold here. I just so feel so bad for them. But you know what? Every morning in the sun, we have southern sun in our backyard. They're out there, you know, eating the, you know, peanuts and seeds and everything that we leave for them. So they survive. But anyway, we have the ducks. We live near a campus, St. Kate's University here. I've talked about this before. All the ducks, they just come and they fly over our house. And they eat all the corn. We leave them a whole bunch of corn, and we have like a dish with water in it, and they, I don't know, they get that dirty every day. But around the same time, around 4:30 every day, you could be, it's like clockwork. There's the squirrels, there's the ducks flying over. Robert just washed his car. Uh-oh, now he's got to wash it again. Anyway, you know, I get a lot of joy just looking out my backyard here. We have, you know, windows, and I have a bird feeder, and we have all kinds of, right now, like dead, I don't know what they're called, milkweed and all kinds of dead wild Minnesotan grown pollinator plants that are dead now. And I was going to pull them out, but I see all the birds eating the seeds out of them. And a woodpecker also comes and eats all the seeds out of it. So anyway, it gives me joy to take care of the little wildlife we have in our backyard and the raccoons that come and the possums that come. Robert, don't think I'm crazy, but I'm going to be setting up that possum house soon. So what we have, I'm going to try to describe it. We have a off-the-ground garden. So it's like a, you know, it's off the ground. It stands up. And what I do is I put a tarp over it. And I bungee cord it around so it stays tight around the bottom. And I have an opening so whoever wants to can go underneath there. And then I have a heated mat that's plugged in. And so anybody, a possum, usually, I did it for a possum, but anybody, a raccoon or anybody could go in there. And last year I have a picture of a possum sticking his head out of the little opening I made. It's heated in there. It's heated, and I have like a straw so that they could go in there. Because possums, they don't have, they can't keep warm. They can't keep warm. You know, they're warm-blooded, and they're not from around here, so they get frostbite. So you could usually tell how many winters a possum like hung around, because they're usually, they're like their ears and their tail is frostbite. And honestly, they don't even live that long. And they're really ugly, but they don't, they're really, they're not friendly, but they are not, you know, they don't bite or anything like that. And they eat like a ton of ticks. So when I see them in the backyard, I'm just happy that they're eating all the ticks so that Wanda doesn't get full of ticks when she goes out.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, children's author Laura Bird with some holiday gift recommendations, not just for the young book readers on your list, but for the grown-ups as well.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. The Todd Alba Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Pennsylvania police have a person of interest in connection with the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. He's being held without bail. When asked if he had been in New York, Altoona Deputy Police Chief Derek Swope says of Luigi Mangione's response,
"The suspect didn't have to say a lot after that question to show that, you know, he was very nervous at that point."
Six people are charged with human smuggling in a semi-trailer crash that killed more than 50 migrants in Mexico heading to Texas. CBS's Adrian Bard.
More than 50 people died. Most of them were from Guatemala.
President-elect Donald Trump's picks for Defense Secretary, FBI Director, and Intelligence Director were on Capitol Hill today. CBS's Robert Costa says of embattled Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth,
"My conversations with sources close to President-elect Trump show that there is confidence in his ability to keep fighting. They know that his nomination still remains a variable in the transition process."
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.